So Paul, the words that Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1, they're really brief words that he speaks, but they are vitally important words to our following Jesus Christ and learning to grow in becoming followers of Jesus Christ. And those words that he speaks, those are perhaps some of the most neglected words of Paul by the body of Christ today. At the very least, we can say this. The truth that Paul shares in those words, it is horrifically underutilized today. So let's look what those words are. Very simple words. We looked at them 2 weeks ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. With one single sentence, Paul shares an indispensable instruction that shows us how to grow individually as followers of Jesus Christ and how to grow the church at large as well. What he's saying is, if they will watch him, if the Corinthians will watch Paul and imitate Paul, they will learn and they will grow, because Paul is living his life imitating Jesus. As we live our lives imitating Jesus Christ, we show others how to live their lives imitating Jesus Christ. We become mentors. We mentor others. We help them to grow. And here's a really well-known biblical truth that applies here. You reap what you sow. You know, the more that you invest in someone else, the more others are going to invest in you and become daily mentors in your life as well. There's a lack of mentorship that has led to an imbalance in the church of Jesus Christ today in our country and in our culture, because we have still so many believers who are in spiritual elementary school. They haven't advanced. They haven't grown. As you grow others, you yourself grow. As I said last week, the best way to learn something is to teach it to others. Grow others and you will grow. And the end product is we have a spiritually mature church and we have a body of Christ that is spiritually educated in the Word, in the principles of God that come directly from His Word. Listen to this from Hebrews. This is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Listen, there's been too many times in my life where that statement has been true of me. And I've known that I haven't been spending the time and the focus on the Word of God. And I know, you know, I've told people before, one of the ways for me, one of the ways that the Holy Spirit shows me, a sign to me, a flag to me, I need to make some corrections, is I've been teaching and preaching for, been in ministry for 30-some years. And there's so many things that are just locked in here. And there's so many things that sometimes I just, it's almost like, well, I know it, so it's easy to pull out. But there's times that even those things that I know by heart, sometimes all of a sudden I can't pull them up. You know, all of a sudden I just can't remember them. I know things and I know I have an answer for this, but I just can't pull it up. That's always a sign to me that I'm not spending enough time in the Word of God. I'm not spending enough time with Him and being with Him. I think all of us can relate to that statement. You know, we ought to be teachers, but sometimes we find ourselves, instead, we're going back to the first principles of the oracles of God. And we've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now let me just take that and let's go back to the Old Testament. I absolutely love this verse. And there's not that many times we get to go back and look at the book of Ecclesiastes. So let's take advantage of this. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 11. The words of the wise. And listen, you have. You guys, I know all of you. We all have wisdom from the Word within us. The words of the wise are like goads. And the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. Boy, that is a loaded verse. There's not a lot of verses that we look at in Ecclesiastes. Man, spend some time just meditating on that one verse. First of all, what's a goad? We learned about that from Shamgar. I know Donna knows. If Tony was here, I know he knows. What's a goad? You guys remember? A goad is that long pole that at the end it has that iron spike at the end or that sharpened edge at the end. And it's used to drive animals forward. So here's the illustration. The word that you know, the word of Jesus Christ that you have and that you know, and the word that you teach and speak to others as a mentor, it is like a goad that impels the hearer to right action and to spiritual growth. We all have those words. Let's use them as mentors. Use them as goads. And it also says that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we should be scholars of the Word. You don't become a scholar of the Word by getting your degree from seminary. You become a scholar of the Word by spending time in the Word, by thinking on the Word, by meditating on the Word, by getting a revelation of the Word from the Holy Spirit and sharing that revelation with others, thus driving them forward in Christ. And your words that you share with others to develop them and grow them, the words that you share, they are like well-driven nails, meaning they're carried by the power of the Holy Spirit. As you share as a mentor, those words go with power. They are affixed. They are nailed to the soul of the hearer, not by your might, but by His Spirit. Sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves. Just teach the word that you know. It's not up to you to make sure that they have the understanding. Teach the word and let the Holy Spirit move through those words that you speak and speak revelation directly to them. Listen to this from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we are among you for your sake. The well-driven nail given by one shepherd. Boy, does that paint a picture? The well-driven nail given by one shepherd. That is pointing us to Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. But the well-driven nail, that's also pointing us to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. As mentors, we are to imitate Jesus. That means I need to be willing to make the sacrifice of my time, of my wisdom, giving of myself. I need to follow His example and make a sacrifice to teach words and to speak words to others, to lead them in truth, to guide them, and to lead them to Jesus Christ. Now, that whole image that comes from that verse in Ecclesiastes, that also took my mind right to Thomas. Thomas is the one who, if you remember, Thomas said he refused to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. And he would not believe until he was able to see and touch the nail prints in Jesus' own body. But then Jesus appeared to Thomas. And in John chapter 20, verse number 27, then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it in my side. Here's the key. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. As you and I live our lives imitating Jesus Christ, we are exciting. I got really excited on that one. We are exciting others to follow that example and to live their lives for Jesus Christ as well. And as they see the Word of God working in your life, as you speak the Word and you stand on the Word, that becomes tangible evidence that they can see, that they can touch, and that they can feel. As they see the Word working in your life, as they see you living your life, imitating Jesus, as they see that, it's evidence. You are then shepherding them from unbelief to faith, believing, and receiving. Now, perhaps one of the greatest examples from the Old Testament of mentoring. It's something I mentioned 2 weeks ago when I first started talking about mentoring, and it's something that Jeff, I just love the way the Holy Spirit works things together, which, by the way, thank you for that awesome word last Sunday, Jeff. That was really good. That was excellent. So Jeff also touched on it. It's Elijah and Elijah. Elijah mentored Elijah. And then eventually, Elijah's mantle was taken up by Elijah. Remember the day that Elijah was taken up into heaven, as Jeff talked about last week. Remember on that day, Elijah, the one who's being mentored, Elijah asked for a double portion of the Spirit that was on Elijah. And Elijah said, if you see me taken up to heaven, it will be so. And Elijah witnessed Elijah being taken up. He witnessed Elijah caught up in that chariot, in that those horses of fire, in the whirlwind. And then we read this. This is 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen. So Elijah is taken up into heaven in that whirlwind, the chariot and horses of fire. And Elijah's mantle falls to the ground. And Elijah picks it up. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. And he went back and he stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and he struck the water and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And then the rest goes on. But I want you to see how that first part, because here's what happened earlier in that day. Elijah and Elijah, when they had crossed over the Jordan River, the sons of the prophets who were there, they were on the shore watching this take place. And the last thing they saw was Elijah and Elijah crossing over the Jordan River, and they saw Elijah divide the waters of the Jordan River with his mantle. Now they see Elijah coming back doing the exact same thing with the exact same mantle. They know that the Spirit of God that had been on Elijah is now on Elijah. So what is the significance of that mantle? That mantle that went from Elijah, the mentor, to Elijah, the one who's being mentored. What's the significance? Well, we could spend a lot of time on that, but I just want you to study, just look at a little bit. Let's look at just a little bit of the history of Elijah's mantle. So if we go back and look at the history, if you remember, Elijah, of course, known as for that great showdown on Mount Carmel. Well, following Elijah's victory over the false prophets on Mount Carmel, when the fire of God fell from heaven and consumed the offering that Elijah had made, and those false prophets were slain, and the drought ended. But then Elijah, discouraged by the threats of Jezebel, flees into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, God says to Elijah, he tells him to come and stand out on a mountain as God passes by. And if you remember, God was not in the winds, appropriate for this morning. God was not in the winds that tore the rocks from the mountain. He was not in the earthquake. He was not in the fire. God was in, as that woman said in that first little thing, God was in the still, small voice. But now here's what I want you to notice. Notice what Elijah did when he heard the still, small voice of God. Notice what Elijah did. Yes, he wrapped, dang, got it. He wraps the mantle that he has around his face. He heard the voice of God, and he wraps the mantle around his face. So this is in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 13. So it was when Elijah heard it, the still small voice of God, that he wrapped his face in the mantle, and he went and he stood by the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So the Hebrew word that we read as mantle is the word adareth. Here's what mantle, adareth, here's what it means. Two things. It means glory, talking about the glory of God, but it also means a cloak. Elijah wraps himself up in the glory of God from the still, small voice of God, which is God's spoken word. Now, you can meditate on that for a while yourself and gain a lot of things on that, and I would encourage you to do that. But I want you to think about this right now this morning. As we wrap ourselves up in the Word of God, that becomes a part of your mantle, a part of the cloak of God's glory that is yours. Now watch what Elijah, the mentor, watch what Elijah does with his mantle, with his cloak of God's glory. This is 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 19. So this is six verses after we see that still small voice. So he departed from there, and he found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. The mentor brings the word of God to the one that he's mentoring. Cover yourself in the word of God. Cover yourself in the glory that is Jesus Christ and the Word. And then find someone in your life that you can toss that mantle of the Word upon. This starts that chain of mentoring. And it's a chain that will always come back around to you. Build up the Word of God. Strengthen your mantle. Build up that mantle of the Word of God, His glory. Then find someone that you can put that mantle on. And it's going to begin that process where it's going to bring mentors right back in to your life. If you're saying you want a mentor in your life, we reap what we sow. Start mentoring others. I've had a lot of people over the years in my life that have told me, I would like you to mentor me. And you know what the biggest problem that I've found? Most of the people that have asked me to mentor them, they want me to do all the work. And I understand that there's work involved. It's a sacrifice on my part. I know that. But I watch. And if I don't see someone that is mentoring someone else, if I don't see them willing to take that mantle, if I don't see them willing to take what they know and teach it to someone else, I know that that's not a person that really has a heart. That's a person that is just taking. It's not just taking. You have to also give. You've got to be pouring out from what you know. I may not know everything that Pastor Menke knows, but I know to share the things that I do know. And as I share the things that I do know, God continually brings people throughout my entire years of ministry. He's always brought amazing men into my life to mentor me. So if you want to see mentors in our lives, let's make sure that first we are doing our part and that we are mentoring others. Find someone and put that mentor or put that mantle on them. So cast your mantle out. Cast it on someone else. But realize, as I just said, realize that the person who's being mentored also has a responsibility. Because if you remember, when Elijah was taken up into heaven, he didn't hand his mantle over to the one he was mentoring. He didn't hand it to Elijah. It fell to the ground. And Elijah had to pick it up from the ground. We just read that. Let me look at it again. This is verse number 13 of 2 Kings chapter 2. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. There's a responsibility that you have as one being mentored. There's a responsibility that you have to take up the mantle, to take up the Word of God, to take up the example. If you're serious about being mentored, you will seriously take what's offered to you by those that God brings to mentor you. And he went back and he stood by the bank of the Jordan. So Elijah prepared the mantle by living his life for God. That's exactly what Paul is talking about when Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. It's the heart of mentoring. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. So the mentor has to prepare the mantle. And you and I, we prepare the mantle by living our lives, imitating Jesus Christ, who is the Word. You be the mentor and prepare the mantle. And then Elijah, the one who's being mentored, he or she has the responsibility to pick up and take up that mantle which fell to the ground. So why did the mantle fall to the ground? And what does the ground represent to us in this? We know from the parables of Jesus that ground or soil represents the spiritual condition of our hearts. Elijah picked up the mantle that had fallen from the ground. It is the responsibility of the one who is being mentored to prepare the ground, to prepare the spiritual soil, to prepare the heart to be able to take up the mantle, to take the Word of God, and to take the life example and the life witness of the person who is mentoring you. We all say we want mentors in our lives, but have we prepared our hearts to receive from mentors as they come? Have we prepared our hearts? If I haven't prepared my heart, I'm not ready for a mentor. So the next question is, how do I test the condition of the soil of my heart? How can I know if I've made my heart ready? Well, here's one way. As others have spoken a word of truth, from the Word of God or just prophetically, as others have spoken a word of truth to me, am I picking up that mantle? Am I receiving that word, that spiritual truth that they're giving, or in pride? In pride, am I rejecting it? Not giving proper credence to that word that's given? What's the condition of this soil, Todd? What's the condition of the soil of your heart? Because I can prepare. It doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter where you've been. I don't want you to be discouraged. We should all be encouraged. And if you would feel like, okay, I need to do some work preparing my soil, easy enough to do. I can prepare the soil of my heart so that I am ready to receive from a mentor. Here's how you do. The first thing, just start learning to take instructions from the Word of God. Timothy says, all Scripture is given for instruction. How many times have, just be honest, how many times have you read in the Scriptures and you've read something that brings conviction, but it's just not comfortable? And you know that it's speaking to you and something in your life, and you just don't want to deal with it, so you go to the next page, or, oh, I'm going to go to another chapter, another book. The best way to prepare your heart is to learn to take instruction from the Word of God and to learn to take instruction from the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit brings you a word or tells you to do something, or when the Holy Spirit convicts me because I need to change or do something, if I will follow that instruction, I'm preparing this soil of my heart to be able to receive. I'm making my heart ready. If I haven't prepared the soil of my heart, if I haven't prepared this ground, I'm not ready for a mentor. Now, we all need to have mentors, but I've got to make myself ready for a mentor. We all didn't look very happy with that statement at all. Wow, man. Those are some of the most somber faces I have seen in recent memory. So we've already looked at the example of Elijah and Elijah. So now, let's consider how the new covenant builds upon that example and reveals even more things to us. From that same example that we see of Elijah and Elijah, when Elijah was taken up into heaven, if Elijah saw him taken up, he would receive a double portion of the Spirit. And so he did. On the day that Jesus ascended into heaven, his disciples were there. When Jesus ascended to be seated in victory at the right hand of Father God, his disciples were standing there and they watched him ascend. They watched him being taken into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Now when he had spoken these things, Jesus, while they watched, he was taken up. Same thing as Elijah, same reference. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. We'll come back to that part in a second. One of the disciples, one of the men who was standing there that day and watched Jesus ascend in victory to heaven was Nathanael. Now, if you go back to the story of Jesus calling Nathanael to be a disciple, to follow him, If you go back to that story, you will see on the very day that God called Nathanael to be a disciple and to follow him, Jesus prophetically spoke to Nathanael and told Nathanael he would see this event, that he would see the ascension. This is in John chapter 1, verses 47 through 51. I realize I haven't given you a chance all morning long to catch up in the Bible. I'll give you a chance to catch up. John chapter 1, 47 through 51. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said to him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." There is so much there. Don't have time to go through all that. I just want you to see how this builds up. Verse number 50, Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is exactly what the disciples saw as they stood there and watched Jesus ascending into heaven. They saw heavens open and received Jesus. And they saw angels ascending and descending as evidenced by the two angels who appeared and spoke to the disciples. This is the exact same thing. When Elijah saw Elijah taken up into heaven, when he saw it, Elijah received a double portion of the Spirit. When the disciples saw Jesus ascend into heaven, shortly thereafter, on the day of Pentecost, they received the full power of the Holy Spirit who dwelt within them so that they could do great works for Jesus. In fact, so they could do even greater works than Jesus did when he was on earth. Remember that from John chapter 14? "Most assuredly," this is Jesus himself, "most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father." The mantle is the cloak of God's glory. It's the glory of Jesus Christ in his word. Wrap yourself in the mantle. Wrap yourself in Jesus, his word, and the glory of Jesus and his word. And then be a mentor. Goad people, in a good sense. Goad people with the word of God that you know, driving them forward to do greater things than you've ever done in your life. Part of a mentor is what I said 2 weeks ago. Part of being a mentor is, if I'm mentoring you, let me turn it the other way. If you're mentoring me, your job is to make me better than you because you're taking your experiences and your knowledge and you're giving it to me so I don't have to waste 30 years learning those same things. I can learn from you and I can grow exponentially. As a mentor, my desire is to see you supersede me spiritually. That's my job. And my desire is to see, as a mentor, my desire and your desire when you mentor someone else is to see them not only supersede you in spiritual strength, but your desire is to see them do even greater things than Jesus did when he was here on this earth. Spend your life imitating Jesus. It will excite others to follow your example and live their lives imitating Jesus as well. And again, that always comes right back to you. If you will do that, you will find that Jesus is bringing all kinds of people to mentor you in your life as well. The body of Christ is unbalanced right now. There's far too many that are still in spiritual elementary school. It is our job. You know, part of the reasons that you who come, is because this is a teaching center. You know, our focus is on the Word. You know the Word. Every single one of us that's here today has plenty of knowledge and wisdom to impart to others. And there's others in your life who need that wisdom, need that experience. They need that mentorship. We need to get the body of Christ back in balance so it can become a church that is spiritually, not even at secondary education. We need to see the body of Christ today living out their lives with doctorate degrees in the Word of God. Amen? Jesus, we thank you and praise you for all that you... We just thank you and praise you. We thank you for all. We just thank you, Jesus. We love you so much. And mostly we love you because you love us. We walk in that love. We sense that love. We feel that love. We are changed by that love. Now, we want to live our lives imitating you so that we will excite others to follow that example and live their lives imitating you. And we are here, ready and available. Show us, for each one of us, there's maybe some people that we're already mentoring, but if there's someone else, show us, just give us a glance in our minds of who that is. That you would. It might not even be somebody we're thinking about, but show us, each one of us, who we are, who we should be sharing, mentoring, leading, developing, growing them in you. By the wisdom you've given us, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity to serve you in every way. You be glorified. It's in your name, Jesus.